So, and by far, I would imagine the Oregon Zoo is the largest trip generator of the TMA members. So I'm just curious. I guess I was a little surprised. I mean, I thought a long time ago we had adopted policies to severely discourage park and ride at the Washington Park MAC stop or the parking lots. So how does that, how do you see that working or does it work? Is park and ride taking up a lot of spaces at peak demand times for the zoo, which seem peak demand times seem they're growing longer in the calendar year every year, which is a good thing, but.
I'm actually let Todd Lofgren answer
that. Yeah, so I think the best way to address park and ride in the future, there's a commitment to working with the Sylvan Highlands neighborhood about the interest of continuing a relationship of where we'd have neighbors had an opportunity to get a permit from the zoo in the past to be able to come down and park in the south lot. The real concern is about the peak times of the year of when the parking lot is full. And so in the off-peak times, those are times when actually the parking infrastructure can allow additional park and ride infrastructure. I think there's more work to be done to figure out, you know, how many people want to have that park and ride opportunity in the off-peak time. And that's something that we see that the TMA should be able to facilitate that discussion and then come up with a solution that will address that need. Right now, people that are using the lot at park and ride are getting warnings from zoo security staff. But right now, because we have an honor system about payment, if you're not actually going into one of the three venues on the south end, you can hop on the MAX or, you know, and not pay to park right now in the south lot.
But under the new proposal, would people be able to buy at a pay station, buy a ticket, and put it in their windshield or whatever, and then, park and ride?
That's right. And one of the strategies is the pricing point of what we have for the all-day rate to discourage that as much as possible, except for, you know, the interest from the Sylvan neighbors of having a separate permit system. And so the daily rate will be really important about what is charged to discourage that. And what we've discussed to date is that an off-peak time daily rate would be $4, similar to the pricing that we have now, but a peak rate would be $6.40 as a starting point. And that $6.40, based on our discussions to date and consulting with transportation experts here in the city, that would be discourage the park and riders from wanting to use that on a regular basis.
Commissioner, not unlike what we're doing at what we did with Willamette Park. We have paid parking at Willamette Park, and one of the concerns or reasons to put that in was the park and ride usage that was maybe crowding out park visitors. And so what we heard from the neighborhood associations, for example, in that case was they like to use the park in the morning to walk their dogs and in the afternoon to bring their kids. So what we have at Willamette Park is a paid parking that's effective from 9 to 3. So it discourages the park and ride use while still allowing neighbors to access and use the park.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions?
Okay. We have a couple other invited guests.
I'd like to introduce at this point Veronica Renard, the Community Relations Director at Travel Portland.
While she's coming up, since Peggy Schwartz is here, Randy, before you go, being a student of history, Peggy and the gift shop at the Hoyt Arboretum is actually, they're selling the old signs that they used to have throughout the park, and they've replaced them with new signs. So for those of you who've been using that gem for a long time, you can actually buy your favorite sign for about $25 and not only contribute to Hoyt, but have a piece of history. I understand Christmas is coming up, or Hanukkah, or whatever you celebrate, so I encourage people to.
Welcome, Veronica. Just give us your name.
Thank you. Good morning, Council President and Commissioners. I'm Veronica Reiner, Director of Community Relations for Travel Portland. It's good to see you again. Thank you for allowing me to provide input this morning. Travel Portland supports creating a Transportation Management Association and Transportation Management Plan in the Washington Park area. This will provide the resources and oversight for numerous improvements to the visitor experience in Washington Park. Washington Park holds so many of Portland's top attractions. It's an iconic piece of a visit to Portland, yet it can be confusing to get to and hard to get around within once you're there. The proposed shuttle from Geldwin Field to and throughout the park to us is a really critical part of this plan. One of Portland's strengths as a visitor destination, something that sets us apart and certainly something that we promote, is that you can come and visit Portland and not need a car to do it. So the shuttle will really make the park and its many attractions much more accessible for the visitors who prefer not to drive. In addition, the plans for improving wayfinding, enhancements of the south entrance, better security and traffic flow will also improve the experience for those visitors who do arrive by car. We hope that the transportation plan will also include better access and facilities for tour buses, something that we have an issue with throughout the city, and especially with the winding roads, et cetera, up there, and parking issues. It would be good if we could find some facilities for them. Our understanding is that the Washington Park TMA obviously has in its members' interest setting parking fees at a rate that will not discourage visitation to the park and its attractions. So with your support, Travel Portland looks forward to working with the Washington Park TMA on new communications and marketing efforts to inform visitors of their many options to get to and throughout the park. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Ron.
Okay, let's move to public testimony.
Okay. Joe and Susan, did you want to come up together? Okay.
I've got written testimony to introduce into the record from the consultant, Rick Williams.
Okay, you can just give that to Carla.
Yep. Joe Angel and Susan Siegel, is it?
Hi. Sorry.
And also Gary Hartshorn and Carrie Hoops.
Carrie? Okay, they're there.
Okay, so we'll take. Oh, so that's it then.
I'm going to go for it. All right.
You're welcome to have that chair and. Then we have one more after these four. So why don't we start with you on the end there? Just give us your name, and you have 3 minutes.
Carrie Hoops. I'm the interim executive director for the Portland Children's Museum. We're here today because we represent not only the Portland Children's Museum, but the Opal Charter School, which also resides within the walls of the museum. So it's no surprise that the majority of our guest population are young children. That means providing a safe environment for them and a place to play and learn is one of our top priorities today.
With that being said, my name is J.J. Rivera. I'm the Director of Exhibits and Operations for the Children's Museum. And on top of that, over the past few years, Washington Park as a whole, all the venues have worked very hard to kind of learn about how each individual organization operates. And we've done that in the sense of trying to learn about the programs, the events, the services we provide, so that we can all make better decisions around each other. Instead of running our programs in isolation, we now can plan around each other so that we're not bottlenecking, you know, creating chaos for the park. The Portland Children's Museum feels that it's essential for us to continue to do this work in order to create a better experience for Washington Park as a whole and for the greater Portland community. So as we keep moving through this, it's going to just create a better experience at Washington Park. Thank you.
Yep. I'm going to let Susan start, and then I'm going to give you a little historical. Okay.
Who's running this hearing, Joe Angel?
Well, could we do it that way?
I'm hoping he is, because
President Dan Saltzman, you are sparring with.
All right, so I have some prepared comments from the Arlington Heights Neighborhood Association.
You could just give us your name again.
I'm sorry, I'm Susan Alpert Siegel. I thought they did, so I apologize. Okay. Good morning, it's nice to meet you.
Morning.
And we also met with, I went to the Sylvan Heights Neighborhood Association meeting last night. They are not able to be here today, and part of the reason for this is it's just really short notice. We received this full copy of the TMPA only last week, and people just couldn't get off from work to be here. So they apologize. They wanted to stress, I was asked to stress for them, that one of their concerns is park and ride, and I believe Joe is going to address that in a little more detail. They feel that historically the reason behind one of that Zoo Max station was that they would be able to do park and ride, and that was part of creating it, part of the agreement with the neighborhood at the time. And so the elimination of park and ride is a particular concern to them, but they won't be able to address that here today. I believe they have emailed something to Commissioner Fish, so there should be some written comments.
So I'm sorry for interrupting, but didn't I just understand that Sylvan was able to keep the park and ride with your inquiry?
Are they going to be able to keep the park
they
and ride?
They would be able to buy permits. That was what we just asked a second ago.
Okay. Yeah.
And in fairness, since we've had 21 neighborhood meetings over the last 17 months, these issues have been discussed. And as Mike said very clearly on the record, that the Sylvan neighborhood would be able to get permits.
Maybe I misunderstood.
To address that, and that's in direct response to the issue raised by the neighborhood?
So the meetings, as we understood the meetings, these 21 meetings, they have been around centered around a good neighborhood agreement. And so while we were aware of parts of this plan, we are not aware of the full nature of the plan, and we received the full copy of the plan just last week by downloading it from the Metro Council website. The ANA board actually has been discussing general parking and transportation issues with representatives of Metro, Washington Park, and the zoo in the city for about 18 months. But we believe the focus of these discussions has been the disposition of the west parking lot and the associated conditional use application. Our most recent meeting was about 3 days prior to the presentation of the Washington Park Transportation and Management Agreement to Metro Council. But it was actually not disclosed to us at that meeting that this document existed. And although elements of the plan were discussed in general terms, we don't believe that we have really heard the full details of this plan until that time. And mostly, we believe that elements of the plan should be modified. And we're sort of disappointed that the agreement was approved by Metro Council without particular amount of time for public input. So our comments are really directed not just to the process by which this plan was drafted, but also some elements of the plan itself that we are hoping to be modified. So there are a lot of aspects of the proposed agreement that we support. The development of a Washington Park master plan is a laudable goal. It's something that we support. Creation of a transportation management association, we support. An improved shuttle capability, we support wholeheartedly. We agree that parking revenue should be used for these purposes, and we support the concept of paid parking, at least in the southern part of the park near the zoo. Our understanding, or what was presented to us, was traffic control studies, but predominantly from the southern part of this park up by the zoo and the venues, and not at the northern part of the park. And my understanding is that those studies have not been done at the northern part of the park down by the Japanese Garden. Perhaps they have been. They have not been shared with us. And so we would like some more traffic control studies down there. So there are elements that we don't agree with. We have some concerns about the lack of public input, as much as there have been a large number of meetings about the Good Neighborhood Agreement and some very general process meeting sort of globally. There really isn't a lot of public input on this particular plan itself. And then we're in the process of drafting a good neighborhood agreement with the venues. Paid parking was discussed in these meetings, but this really focused on the south end. And so a lot of our concerns are about the north end.
Okay, ma'am, your time is up, ma'am. We have your written testimony.
So we're still here.
I think Mr. Angel's going to bat clean up for you anyway.
Yeah, we're going to finish
Joe,
up.
If you could just give us your name and the three minutes. Yep.
Thanks for having me. I need to start out by saying, remember that we got to this place because there was a broken trust about the auxiliary lot. These meetings that we have had with Metro and Parks and all the neighborhoods have been tremendous. We have bought into the vision that Parks and Kim brought to us, and we think that that process was terrific. What we were surprised about last week was we had never seen the detail of an agreement. And the agreement, we think, needs some fine-tuning. And we're asking that fine-tuning take place before you take a final vote on these issues. What has happened over the last 2 years is we've went from being sort of very skeptical of even having a discussion to being with people that we believe we can trust again. So this issue about the neighborhoods park and ride, by the way, I think there are 40 slots, and every year only about 8 or 9 of them get a tag bought for the mirror. So we're not talking about a big deal here. But that's part of the trust that was broken originally with the development of the MAX station. There were a list of things that the neighborhoods negotiated, and we felt should be honored. We expect you to honor your agreements just like you expect us to honor ours. So that's why this thing kind of blew up last week, is over that being one of the issues. The rest of the issues you'll find in our written testimony. I think we can have a discussion about those issues and move on to what I think will be a fantastic master plan for Washington Park. We've been 30 years without one. You guys can't really make capital decisions without having a master plan to guide you.
Joe, if I could just one comment with Joe first. Joe, from reservoirs to skateboarding to parking, I'm probably leaving a lot out. You've rolled up your sleeves and been a tremendous partner with the city on all these issues, and I thank you for that. And your comment about trust, I want to take that comment and redirect it to Mike Abate and Todd and the team, because you and I have talked privately a lot about the history. And you said there needed to be a change in the relationship. And I think I told you Mike would bring a different approach.
And he has.
And I appreciate you calling that out. And that, the point I just want to also make is that what I'm hearing is that on the fundamental questions, and I'll just go off the prior testimony, support for the development of a Washington Park master plan, we're in accord. Establishment of a transportation management association, which currently is proposed, would have two neighborhood reps. Conceptually, we're in accord. The long overdue shuttle bus that would allow people to park and then ride. We're in agreement. Retaining the revenues in the park, which is something we've committed to, and that's a very important, and that's a trust point, because we're not looking to generate additional revenues and ship them elsewhere. And then the concept of paid parking, something that you said that we agreed to. So just so I'm clear, what I'm hearing is still some misgivings over about 400 parking spots. The 1,000 at the south end, we're in agreement on. What we're now talking about is the 400 at the north end. And one of the concerns that's been raised, and I've heard it now for 17 months, is concerns about people about displacement. And they don't want to see this solution create a problem on neighborhood streets to the north. And we hear that loud and clear. Whatever the council is going to do its will here, and I will get some feedback shortly about what they want to do, and you've had a chance to put your marker down. But what I just want to make a commitment to you going forward is we view the TMA as the place to have these discussions, and we have agreed with you that it needs to be structured in a way that neighborhoods have a real voice, not just an opportunity to come state their case, but actual representation. And I'm not an expert on TMAs, and I'm sorry the mayor's not here because he is, but I think it's almost unprecedented to have two neighborhood slots dedicated on a TMA. And it is our intent through that to demonstrate that we're serious about working through neighborhood concerns and making this work. So I just want to...
That's terrific. There's a lot of debate at the north end of the park about this whole issue. I mean, the more press there is, this meeting we had on the holiday, we had a lot of people who came from the neighborhood into a board meeting that we had never seen before that were all over the spectrum on parking and what parking would do or not do. And I think a lot of it can be handled by us having a dialogue. But in general, the board has heard from the neighborhood that the master plan and the shuttle and the TMA are important things that have to come to pass.
Yeah. Well, one other thing I'll just state is what I've come to learn in my briefings, Joe, is that if we go ahead and bifurcate and just tackle the 1,000 parking spots in one location, what we're guaranteed to do is displace parking to areas that exacerbate the very concern that you come here to raise. And if there's 400 unregulated spots in one area, what we're doing is setting up a big sign saying park here, and then I think you can reasonably anticipate what will happen to the adjoining neighborhood streets. We are literally trying to avoid that by creating a system-wide parking management plan and looking at it holistically. And we got some pushback from some of our partners that were concerned about access to their venues. But when they look at the benefits of a system-wide plan with shuttle buses and with resources to do marketing, other things, I think their concerns were allayed. I respect your concerns, but we are truly committed to addressing them.
So if I could just make an observation, I appreciated Commissioner Fish starting off his comments with acknowledging how this particular neighborhood association, be it skateboards or reservoirs has, and I will say this not just from Nick's perspective, but from mine, has been unusually rational and reasonable in finding solutions. You may have heard I have been dealing with the reservoir issue for about 7 years now. And on another part of the city, just as in your part of the city, I have gone into early on into people's homes and had meetings, gone to Washington, D.C., looked for solutions, and I quickly learned, at least with those reservoirs at Mount Tabor, a compromise meant for them when they got their own way. And I can't work like that. And so I've had to disengage. On your side of the river, I've met in some of your homes, had similar discussions, whether it was on reservoirs or whether it was on skateboards, and have had ongoing dialogues that caused initial positions I had taken to be modified because the response has been consistently rational, balanced, reasonable, and compromise meant both sides gave a little bit. I've consistently appreciated that. And I think one of the benefits that the neighborhood has reaped, for an example, is a renovated Washington Park Reservoir with a chain link fence being removed and a wrought iron fence being installed, the grand staircase being cleared away that people didn't even know existed for 50 years, and it's now open for the public use. That's the kind of thing that I think some neighborhoods could learn from your neighborhood and actually how to be productive and to make strides ahead. So that's a long way of getting me to a concern I'm hearing here that I'm not quite understanding. I do appreciate Commissioner Fish in advance of this hearing briefing me on this. But given the particular mix of people that we're interacting with on this agreement, I guess I'm at a loss to understand why, and maybe this is a question for Mike Abate or one of the staff people, why this agreement wasn't shared with you earlier, why some attempt couldn't be made to try to find a balance of interests before we, the council, are put in a position to have to, frankly, take sides. And were you a different neighborhood, I would understand that was just the cost of doing business, move ahead. But this particular group, as I said, has demonstrated to me repeatedly the ability to find a middle ground. So I'm just curious why.
Well, I'll give you my opinion. And I don't want to speak for Mike. He can speak for himself. He's good at that. I think the issue, this piece of paper, came from a board meeting that happened around a specific agreement and ordinance, which we simply hadn't seen the detail of. I don't know why.
Because that's the question I'm asking.
It would have taken, weeks or months to write. We did have the general viewpoint of all these issues. We talked about them infinitum. I mean, I'm sure the staff's going to tell you they're tired of talking. Well, believe me, the neighborhood started talking too. We want to find the solutions, but it's an exhaustive process. And we think we can still find a common ground on all these issues.
And my point is, my experience is that you would. So that's why I'm wondering why I'm being put in the position, or the council's being in the position it is.
Why don't we hear from the, we have one person that wishes to testify, then we'll bring up Director Abate.
I have a question for Susan first.
Yeah.
You said, thank you, that you were at Sylvan Heights.
Yes, I was.
Sylvan Highlands.
Yes.
What was the discussion there? Because I had a letter yesterday morning from one of their board members expressing similar concerns.
I think most of the discussion there is that they were as surprised by this as we were. They were also involved with meetings, mostly around the Good Neighborhood Agreement, the Transportation Management Plan. And I think they were aware generally also of the proposal to put in paid parking. But again, it's the same issue where they haven't really had time to review it. And there are concerns for them about, for example, what are the things is in this document, making sure that there's money for pedestrian infrastructure. And they don't believe that that was addressed in the document. So that was one of the comments. A lot of it, I think, is surprise. The public did not know. And one woman said, I walk around the park all the time. I couldn't come to last month's meeting, and this was not a board member. Why didn't I know about this?
Thank you.
Okay. We have one gentleman left who wishes to testify. Is there anybody else that wishes to testify? so this is the time to come on up. Okay. Come on up, and you can give us your name, and I think you both have affiliations related to this. Give us your name, affiliation, and you each have 3 minutes.
Commissioners, I'm Gary Hartshorn, President and CEO of the World Forestry Center. Washington Park has been our home since 1971. First, I want to recognize the considerable collaborative efforts that have been made, particularly over the last 2 years, to address parking issues in Washington Park. Secondly, the World Forestry Center supports and endorses the proposed TMA for Washington Park. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Peggy Schwartz, Executive Director of Hoyt Arboretum Friends. I will be brief, as my colleagues have stated most of what we've been doing over the past 2 years. The board of Hoyt Arboretum Friends joins as a signator to this agreement, and I'm looking forward to continuing to work with my WPA colleagues and the neighborhood in establishing a very important and very necessary transportation management system for Washington Park. I think it's a comprehensive view of the park and is definitely needed for traffic management, and we're in support of it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you both. Director Abate, are you here? Come on up. Todd also, I guess. Did you have some questions, Commissioner Linder, or just wanted to hear?
Well, I guess I would make an observation, and the observation is based on cursory information that I received in my briefing with Commissioner Fish, which there was nothing that was told to me there, nor nothing that you have presented here today that raises a red flag for me as a problem in and of itself, other than I'm for want of a better word, mystified why when you're dealing with a group such as we were just having testify, you wouldn't make sure that they'd seen the agreement. If they asked for more time, delay us having this hearing so they have more time. Because based on my experience, which I would guess echoes your own experience, these are an extremely reasonable group of people.
Absolutely.
Who are looking for solutions and not creating problems. And then when you solve one problem, create another problem for you, as happens in other forms, and I'm sure you have as much experience at as I do. So I just don't understand why we haven't allowed this to bake a little more and interact with this group a little more, listen to their concerns, if they have any, and see if there's some attempt to address it. And to the point that you couldn't do that, then bring that back to us and let us decide that. But what I'm hearing is they may or may not disagree with what you have here. They just haven't had time to digest it.
Commissioner, good question. And I would just respond by saying that I can understand the perspective. As Joe mentioned, the sort of the terms, the business terms, without you know the printed agreement, but the approach was shared earlier, and you know I'll just take responsibility for the fact that with six venues, each with their own board that needed to be approved, and a Metro Council, coordinating all of that and being able to show the public something that had support from the venues prior to the venues voting on it, created a complexity. It's not maybe a typical linear process when you have partners that have boards. And we're happy to continue the conversation in the next couple
and
of weeks.
Believe me, I am completely sympathetic with what you've just said. But I'm just wondering, is it a fatal flaw to wait an extra week or 2 weeks before we vote on this to have time? And we may end up.
Can I jump in on that?
Yeah.
And Randy, I appreciate your comments because it's also been my experience working with this particular neighborhood association. So because we don't have a council next week, this would not, in the ordinary course, come back to us for 2 weeks. I've been making a list of issues which my colleagues have raised. Commissioner Fritz has two. Dan has one. You've raised the fundamental question of can we close the gap with two neighborhood associations over the north and south parking
right.
issue, or at least make sure, if we can't, that we're as transparent as possible about our thinking and engage their thinking. The reality is we can do that over the next 2 weeks, and frankly, if it's the council's desire, if I'm not satisfied that's cooked enough, we can postpone when we come back, because I appreciate that our general preference is to have something that we can vote without dividing winners and losers. And when I actually heard the testimony, what encouraged me was about 95% of this agreement is in fact cooked and reflects the values and agreements that have been struck through over 20 neighborhood meetings, 7 or 8 with one in particular. I mean, Todd hasn't seen his family for a year and a half. And that's hard work. And actually, it's almost a miracle that we have this much, because you'll remember the last TMA that came before us on the Central East Side. We had some vehement opposition by businesses who felt that it was fundamentally flawed. We haven't heard a fundamental flaw. We've heard a concern about the two parking lots. I would be more than happy to have some structured meetings, particularly in my office, to continue that. And at the point which I think we're ready, come back. Or if not, if there still remains a disagreement, brief my colleagues so that you know what's ahead.
That characterizes precisely the point I was trying to make.
I'm happy to do that, and I don't think we have to change the schedule, because it wouldn't otherwise come back for 2 weeks. I would suggest we keep it on the schedule and let me report back to you in a week informally.
Appreciate
I'd like you maybe to consider continuing the hearing rather than scheduling the vote, because I'd like to hear testimony from citizens as to whether things, in fact, are fixed.
That's fine. We're not up against a.
We could actually add a second hearing.
We could add an emergency clause if we chose.
No. We add a second hearing. We could allow testimony. That's the council's discretion. That's
okay. Yeah, we're not. I'm committing to my colleagues that we will not seek a vote until I've reported to you that either we have agreement or that the issues cannot be resolved. And I think since we have a 2 week period, let's use that in good faith. Sometimes a deadline, Commissioner Fritz, focuses the party's attention, and we've been working on this for a long time. Why don't we keep that date? But we could then, at that point, if people feel there's more time, I'd certainly entertain that.
Okay. Thank you. I have some more comments. I have, because I would be hopeful that there would be some amendments regarding the makeup of the Transportation Management Association. In addition to people speaking for Portland's families at large, I think that there needs to be some consideration to the fact that there are many fundraisers that happen at the zoo and the World Forestry Center, and the potential impact of parking fees on evening visitors, weekend visitors at fundraisers needs to be considered.
Okay.
Any other issues? Okay, so we're going to, we will have the second reading on the 28th, but we will also make it explicitly understood that will be an opportunity for additional public testimony.
And thank you, team, and thanks, colleagues, for a thoughtful discussion.
Thank you. Thank you all. And now we, I think it's our last item, item 1303, if you could please read that.
Authorized contracts as required with 8 professional, technical, and expert services firms for on-call survey and photogrammetric services in support of the Portland Bureau of Transportation.
Okay. We do have somebody here from Bureau of Transportation. Welcome, and give us your name.
Thank you. Richard Gray, Portland Bureau of Transportation. Commissioner Salzman, members of the council. This is a fairly routine ordinance that actually was intended for consent. This is to approve 8 contracts, 6 for survey and 2 for photogrammetric services. These would be on-call services written by a task order, and they're 3-year contracts. The advantage of the on-call process is that it allows the bureaus and the contractors to save a lot of time, money, and effort in not having to put out a full solicitation every time you need a $10,000 piece of work. You can just go to the next permanent rotation and write a task order. So it saves the contractors a lot of money and time for having to prepare proposals every time. We don't have to advertise each time. And so most of the bureaus, or the larger bureaus I know, at least use this process. So it works really well. And we have 6 contracts for survey work and 2 for photogrammetric work. Photogrammetry is aerial mapping. And so that's then it's integrated into the land survey process.
We don't use drones for aerial mapping.
No, okay. I don't think so. I'll have to check.
Want to ask that on behalf of the mayor? Just want to make sure. Okay. Any questions?
Are any of these companies minority or women-owned businesses?
The 8 primes, none of them are. One of which is, interestingly, is owned by an Alaskan Native corporation, but they are not certified for some reason by the state as an MBE. I'm not sure why that is. But we do have a significant amount of minority participation as subcontractors, about, I think it's 19.5%, something like that, that are listed as subs on the projects.
And how do we ensure that those subs are used?
That is a monitored by Bureau of Procurement Services, and the contractors have to provide monthly utilization reports to our project manager and to procurement services.
What's the consequence if they don't use the minority contractors?
I don't know that there is a consequence. That's a question for procurement services.
And why is this a three-year contract? What if there are businesses that are building and could bid on it?
That is one of the drawbacks of a three-year contract. The advantage is that it allows us to have a stable crew of contractors that we could go through rotation on to get them the work. But that is a drawback, that it's locked out for 3 years.
And aren't we then locking in a maximum of 19.5% subcontracting?
The 19.5 is based on what they've listed as their potential amount of contracting, of subcontracting. They could do more than that. They could do less than that.
But we have no way of making that happen.
We can encourage them to do that, but there's not a hammer that I'm aware of. It's a process procurement services uses to this is the monthly utilization reports.
Right. Well, I know this is bigger than this particular ordinance.
Right.
So I think it is evidence that we need to look at these service contracts broadly and look at how we can do better in our ensuring that we get minority and small business. And
yeah, we did a significant amount of outreach to the minority community. I sent an email to every registered MWESB contractor that lists survey or photogrammetry as part of their areas of expertise. They each got an email, plus we advertised it on the city's website and the Daily Journal of Commerce, of course.
There was a representative from the Portland Development Commission at the African American Chamber last night who went in person and explained the process. So I think, you know, it's not specific to you, so I'm
sure.
Not blaming you. I think we need to look at in-person outreach and explaining to folks what the opportunities are beyond posting a notice and sending an email.
So we often do that. For our previous large flexible on-call service contract, we held a forum at Awami and did a lot of direct mail and outreach to get people there, trying to match up contractors with subcontractors to encourage them to partner up.
And I appreciate the work that's being done in procurement services. I look forward to continuing to work with you on that.
Great.
Okay, thanks, Richard. Okay, this is emergency ordinance. So, Carla, please call the roll.
I didn't have a sign-up sheet for this.
Oh, sorry.
Anyone want to testify?
Anybody wish to testify? No.
Okay. Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye. Okay, we are done with our business this morning. We'll reconvene at 2:00.
That's what you do.